Hi, Andre. Well, this weather. Okay, so
how are you?
Yeah. I'm good. As good as it gets. Let me introduce you first, and then we can jump off, I guess. So this is Andre, who's going to be in conversation with me. I'm really excited about this. Part of Recycle Group, a half of the Recycle Group. The artist that we represent and who works with different mediums, but particularly with AR, with artificial intelligence, with the installations and sculptures and a lot of different mediums. So it's a lot to talk about, I guess. And
yeah, thank you.
Am I saying right?
Yeah, actually,
yeah, so where are you? Tell us.
I'm in Paris. I'm at home. Sitting on the terrace.
That's so nice.
It's a nicer view now because there are some trees behind me.
Exactly.
So,
and you have
I'm sitting at home. I have a terrace. So, we are trying to work from home. Georgie, he's a bit sick today, but it's not a COVID, so he's fine.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it's not.
So he could not attend actually today. But so me, I can explain some things.
Answer some
questions.
How long have you been in isolation? You're working from home, you say. Is it really possible for you?
Especially, you guys
are not in the same room, right? So you're like in different places.
Yeah, we are in the different homes. Actually, Georgie, he's also living in Paris. And so he's living in the center. Me, I'm living in the 15th district near the park. So, we've been working for more than a month. So I think that we went to isolation a week before it was officially announced in France.
And
because we felt that it's necessary to stay home. And we are keeping our work web. So we have a lot of projects now with AR when you can really work from your home and doing a lot of sketches and propositions for some next exhibitions as well. So it's fine, more or less. So it's getting to be more work now, but we still have a lot of things to do.
Yeah.
And, even if we're going to go out in a couple of weeks when we finish here in France, I'm pretty sure that they're going to spend much more time outdoors because still a lot of things.
Oh my God, can't wait. So for those people who don't really know what your art is about, could you explain a little bit for you? So you're saying you work on some new projects with AR, but how did you even come to this medium? Like, how did it start? And if you could tell a little bit about this, that would be interesting.
Yeah, we've started to work with the AR in 2016. When it was not that much obvious for all the people around. So we did several projects, even in a Russian pavilion in Venice with augmented reality as well. And we realized that it's a new medium and we need to use it because there is no physical rules. So you can do whatever you want. So you can break some physical rules, which is cool. Because always with our installations, we are trying to have a deal and with the physics, and when we have some options to skip it, we are happy. So
you did manage to do this in Venice, I think. It was just in the street, right? So people
they were
it
in
was
the streets,
not...
and it was in the inside the pavilion as well. Then we did several projects. Also, we did a pirate exhibition in Centre Pompidou in Paris when people went to the exhibition and they could download our application and see all the permanent collection in museum, how the artificial intelligence would recognize it. So what it will response to what questions and with which things it's going to compare, like works of the classics and with the videos of SpongeBob, for example, which of them has more views or less and whatever. So
it's basically people would download the app and they would look through this on some kind of a painting or like a classic sculpture, and they would see something like in front of it or something like this, right?
Yeah. So yeah, we normally visitors are using cameras on their smartphones, and in this case, they could recognize our hidden messages, and so they could figure out what's going on. So as well, we are working now with, then we did a project actually in Gazelli after this project in Pompidou, I think, or it was a bit before.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it was the same year, I think.
2018, I think it was in Gazelli, And in Gazelli, it was already like a made-up sculptures that also existed like offline as well. But with the app, you sort of could see the full picture, so like figures that would walk past or something like this. And
Yeah, actually, we did some projects as well with augmented, and we still keep doing projects with augmented reality, and we even prepared a little surprise for all the people who like our work, so they can print the triggers, which I prepared, and I'm going to send you them to publish. People can print them out in at their home, and using the augmented reality app, which called Recycle Group, they can see the augmented reality works. And as well, these triggers we will be shown by Pushkin Museum as well on their platform. And so it could be a nice moment, entertainment for the people during the isolation at home. So
did you come up with it during isolation, or it was before? It's just a coincidence like this?
No, we actually did these triggers before the isolation. Some of them we've used the exhibition in Gazelli, and some of them we've been using in Pushkin Museum. And actually, there are some ravens. So, and
somebody's free and walking around, you know.
No, it's close to us, so they're flying everywhere. And so we are working a lot with this medium, media, and actually it's a kind of prediction feeling when we've been starting to work with augmented reality. We were thinking what could happen if all the people going to lock down in their homes, and like,
so
what,
crazy.
how you could work with this, etc. And so I was really surprised when I realized that this is a reality, because
actually
I never expected.
Happening.
And now we are trying to be more accurate and delicate with some kind of a predictions, because
stop thinking silly. Things, they're actually happening. But do you work with the developers on AR, or technically difficult?
Yeah, we have our developer, Alexey Severin, who is in
He's
Italy
Russian.
Now, actually. He's Russian, yeah, but he lives in Italy more than 10 years, I think. And he's still there. So in Udino, like a little town in the north of Italy. Yeah. And we are working with him now as well with the other projects for the next big exhibition in St. Petersburg, Manesh. It's like a big exhibition hall. Then we are doing a big sculpture for a big park in Krasnodar from plastic mesh as well. There will be some kind of augmented reality stuff also.
Yeah.
And so a lot of things to do, actually.
You're busy.
Yeah, I think that more or less time now goes online, and so as we have been living there for a long time, so. The video stopped, actually, I think. No? Are you here?
Yeah, I paused for some time, so if you could repeat.
Yeah, there are some people who are asking questions. So do people just view in their phone on their phones? Yeah, they see the augmented reality project. The artworks actually are in inside the augmented reality, inside this program. And people can use their smartphones to see.
Yeah, and the same person asked before, do you have to wear on a HMD to see it? I'm not sure what is HMD.
To see it. No, you don't need to wear a headset.
It's literally just the app. So you just see it through the app.
So you just need the app. You don't need a headset. You just need your smartphone, and it's very easy to download from App Store or Google Play. So you don't need something specifically. And that's one of the important reasons, actually, for us, because we realized that I have like maybe 10 friends who has a headset at their homes, but it's a maximum. That's why it's not really efficient.
I don't think anyone has that, really. It's just like expecting people too much.
Yeah, that's why we are working with the augmented reality on the smartphones. Actually, it's the easiest way to show people the art, especially during the isolation. So, which is pretty cool. I'm playing with this every day, you know, like with the app. So I'm like a kid who's walking inside the house. Like, oh, look, new trick. That's oh.
I can't wait for the new triggers to be sent. Really, really can't wait. I actually have some questions from the Instagram from yesterday when we posted Ask a Question and stories. So people were actually asking quite a lot. For example, where do you get... So the medium is AR, but the content of your art is sometimes it's some kind of observation of the society. Phones actually. Where do you get the inspiration or the topics for your art theme wise? So when you speak about something, what is it? Where does it come from? And how much Russia as the country of your where you're from influences this?
Politically, no, not that much. But anyway, we are working with the global ideas, which are not belongs to the only to one country. Actually, we've been growing the Western culture, and because our parents are artists, and we know each other from like 3 years old. I don't know. And we've been growing on this Western culture. That's why for us it's much more important to work on the global ideas than on the ideas of one country. Anyway, we've been doing a Russian pavilion, which also had some links with the global situation. So the main concept that we are working on now is the recycling of ideas and materials. So we are always experimenting with the ideas and the materials. So we are trying to figure out what could be in the future if all the world would go this way as it goes. And we are trying to create and fill paradoxes. So a lot of artists now are working with the idea of machine and the human, how it can collaborate, etc. And for us, it's much more important to give people and the machines the feelings. So what would what would remind in the world If, for example, some people gonna scan their brains and put them inside the program or inside the machine, so how they can communicate then together with the machine and with themselves. That's an interesting question, and we are trying to find some answers for philosophical questions about the artificial intelligence as well as and as well as the ethical questions.
There were some questions about this on Instagram as well, about machines and people. So in your opinion, how far the machine can go or will be able to go? And is it an actual ethical problem that bothers you? So do you really think we should somehow like protect our human beings from too much involvement from the machines kind of?
Actually, I perfectly understand that the world is going on the direction of, I don't like this word, the singularity, but it seems like it goes this direction. And that people are going to communicate much more and more with the machines, that's true. And so even, you know, maybe that Vatican created some laws for artificial intelligence developers, some ethical questions. And from time to time, it's going to be more and more and more ethical questions. And we are trying just to realize and understand where is the place of the human in the future in this situation. And we are trying to, we've been working a lot with the with the idea of religion, actually, but it somehow transformed not into religion but into the relationship, because for us the question of a religion, for example, is religion is something that brings people together and brings their energy from different spots in one spot, like and it's the idea of communication, mental communication. And now we understand that this mental communication can somehow work with the existent and the future elements as the artificial intelligence, which is growing faster and faster. And
so you're saying that, very to simplify this very much, you're saying that machines are going to replace religion in people's life in terms of, at least on a daily level, like in terms of communication and stuff?
Yeah, as well. As well, because we've been working on the idea of religion and the virtual spiritual world when we were doing our exhibition in Venice in 2015, when we figured out like to live for the human to live forever inside the social media, he can just live inside the Facebook.
Was it the exhibition with the in the church?
Yeah, it was exhibition in the church. And we've started beautiful. From this, and now we realize that it's going to be closer and closer and closer. So we predicted some things before, actually.
Yeah, can and we this, predict something nice this time?
Like, I think that it's a new
quarantine and.
Yeah, but it's a new reality, and our job is to find some leaks and trying to bother them and show them to the people to explain that it can go this way as well. And do you like this way or not? Normally people like the visual side of this idea, for example, but the content, when they get it, they are really started to be more accurate with these questions. And so we are just trying to show the perspective. Yeah. And I always, when we are creating some projects, we hope and that it's just our imagination, like not something that's going to happen.
Actually
but
happening.
When it happens, I'm also human. I do not really like some things like this.
Of course. So how do you think, what do you think? I mean, obviously this time in quarantine and the whole virus situation will affect us. But what do you have some thoughts about this already, or
That's a question of the evolution, I think, because look, 30 years ago were when the cell, mobile phones started. Have been
about
using
this
for
time, yeah.
Like 30 years, I think. It's maybe 40, yeah. That's the question of the evolution, like how our planet sees, like, oh, okay, these people can communicate with each other without physical existence. So they can really discuss by phones or by internet. So that's interesting task. Let's try and with this virus and see how it goes. And people really locked down in their houses and started to communicate with each other through the new medias. And it's a kind of a new step of the evolution. And our planet like looks like, if we do this if I do this experiment, what will happen? If I do this experiment, what will happen? And it's kind of our adaptation. Actually, we are living in a new world, and we should adapt somehow to this new world. And how it's going to change, like some nice perspectives that definitely for the planet will be better. Like, I mean, in terms of the ecology, I think that it's getting better. But in terms of all these viruses, I really hope that scientists will create some vaccine or some measures, and we're going to forget about this after a year, maybe.
Yeah, I think so too.
And definitely it would be somehow... It will be not existing like in maybe 1 year, I think. So I hope that...
Let's hope so. And also, humans forget very, very fast. That's for sure.
And humans forget very fast. And also, people would love to spend much more time outdoors. Because after all these lockdowns, I think all these problems with tourism, with different countries who lost their big... values are going to earn them somehow very fast after, because people are going to get crazy to travel. And the most important question for me now is how the airline companies will manage this.
I think there will be also some restrictions still on gatherings, on traveling for some time, even after the lockdown. Yeah. But let's see.
Maybe we all should wear masks in the planes. So I think it's the first.
Yeah, I'm sure
measure.
We should.
It's okay. Nothing special.
Yeah. I have more questions unrelated to virus. Maybe we should distract a little bit from.
Someone needs hugs.
Yeah, that's really cute.
Since
also, they say we have same sweaters.
That's
like we
true.
Have similar. This is true.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. This is true. So people were also asking about your inspiration art-wise. So who is your favorite artist? Maybe you're following somebody, or somebody inspires you, or inspired you before and brought you where you are, or something like this.
Some artists. So it's a very trivial question, actually, because normally of course,
maybe somebody new.
As we've been growing in the Western culture, we definitely like the history of art from the medieval times.
Everybody loves it, even in the West.
But from the new artist, so I like actually Maurizio Cattelan, because he always been creating some new tricks
so sarcastic,
how to crack this society.
Oh yeah,
and
I think he did
he's
really
one
well.
Of my favorite artists, actually.
What do you think about his banana on our Basel last year?
Was cool, actually.
Yeah,
why not? Because he is working with the meanings. I love one of his first projects in Venice when he rent his pavilion to some kind of beauty companies. I don't know, was it L'Oreal or something like that?
Well,
Yeah, he's just hacking. I like this way of thinking, like when the artists are trying to hack the reality. And he's one of these artists who are trying to hack. And there are some other people as well. I mean, I like this concept of hacking the reality. And we were always using the similar feelings ourselves. Like we're trying to hack the museums in terms of their contact through our application. Of course, we're not, we never hack the websites. We are not hackers, but we are working with the ideas of how it can go if, and then.
But when you did it in Pompidou, did you have the consent of the museum, or it was without them agreeing?
It was not official. They did not give us official permission because we wanted to make this exhibition as a pirate. Actually, we have a gallery in Paris, and and this gallery is a rather old gallery, and our gallerist, she's close friend with the director of Centre Pompidou, and she asked me like, okay, so I can ask the director and we can we're going to have official permission. But I told, no, please do not do this, because it should be a pirate exhibition, actually, because the concept of this exhibition was a pirate exhibition.
Ah, so and, you could have, but you didn't have, because you didn't want
to. We didn't have. We could have, but we didn't have. Yeah. And
this is actually hacking.
Yeah, and that was a nice trick that I liked, actually, and still liking.
Yeah, so that's pure hacking. It's like intervention.
Yeah, it's more honest. It's honest, actually. If we're going to do some other projects in the other museums, maybe we're going to use the same way, because you cannot expect it. And like museums cannot affect on the ideas or decisions of the artists, what they should do or what they do not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's self-created way.
In ideal world, they shouldn't, yeah. And was it challenging, or actually which project was the most challenging as far as you remember? There is another question. But I guess that was pretty challenging.
That was pretty challenging, but it was digital. Actually, it's much more challenging when we are working with physical projects, for example. So we did a big sculpture from stainless steel in Park Krasnodar in Russia.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Last October. And it was a pretty challenging, because we never worked before with stainless steel. And the first time we did it,
It was huge, crazy. Right?
It's really huge. It's about 6 meters tall, and like we've spent a lot of time with our productors, and finally the quality of this work, I was pretty happy when I saw it, actually.
It's beautiful.
Like,
it's
finally
really great.
on site, I mean.
Produced in Russia, or how?
Yeah, it was
work?
Produced in Russia. That was one of the most challenging questions, because the factory and the producers, it was really, really hard to find a good casting company in Russia who can do this task. But finally, we succeeded with that, and I was happy. And now we're working on
Krasnodar.
It was in Rostov. It's like 300 kilometers from Krasnodar, actually.
So you also had to ship this. That's pretty challenging. This sounds like a challenging thing.
Yeah, it was challenging. And now we have another challenge. Like we are working on the big plastic mesh work in the same location in the park. And it should be huge, like 130 meters long. And now it's a challenging time as well, because we are preparing some details. So we have the other preparations before. We're combining it somehow with our studio. We are always online with our studio. And it's very hard to fix physical works. with the other hands, like, you know, not with your hands. I know. You're always like online. You're oh, no, this right. Oh, no, this left. Stop. That's no, so no, crazy. Lower. And it's like every day like this. And it takes time. But we're going to succeed with that. So working a lot.
When it's going to be done?
It should be done beginning of fall.
Well, and they're not pausing. They're still working.
Who?
Like the people in who built this.
Yeah, some of them still working. Some of them preparing in the studio. Some of them preparing on site on their places. But we do not install these works now because it's a quarantine in Russia.
Obviously,
well.
Yeah.
And but we are preparing, doing a lot of things, but
nice,
not easy, nice. But so we are trying to have our adaptation with this.
I actually cannot imagine how you can build a sculpture without being on site. That sounds really challenging. How you explore all the digital communication possible.
Yeah, but we prepared a lot of stuff before, actually. That's helping us a lot. And we've been doing this plastic meshes more than 10 years, and we know perfectly how to deal with. It's easier for us than do something that we never did before.
It was another question here about the materials. So what is your favorite material? I'm not sure if such thing exists, but which materials you prefer to work with?
It's not been created yet, I think.
What quality it should have?
We like very much the 3D printers, new ones. But the problem is that they're pretty expensive, the good qualities, which are printing from metal, for example. And rather slow. And
slow? I didn't
know. Rather slow. I mean, yes, it's rather slow. For me, it's always rather slow we have a couple 3D printers in our studio, but they're not printing in metal. It's totally plastic. We like a lot of digital technologies. We like AR. I hope that it's going to develop more and more, and we'll have some more features with AR. Mm-hmm. We are working with even geolocation of people, so it's another interesting project that I can tell. I cannot really tell now, but this project, we hope that we're going to do at the middle of this fall or at the end of this fall in Leeds. And I cannot tell all the details now.
Yeah, don't. Geolocation of people sounds like something that is the most ethically problematic challenging thing to use in your practice, because I don't know. Everybody's so concerned about this, I feel like.
Yeah, but that's the task of contemporary art, I think, to work with the themes which are not suitable.
I agree. For sure. Okay, so I have a couple of more questions, but most of them we answered. But there are some that... again about the beginning of your practice, mostly like how did you guys meet, for example, and how long have you been working together? So if you'd like to go into this,
the simplest questions.
Well,
so we know each other from childhood. Our parents are friends, and they are also artists, and they're helping us a lot with our projects as well. Georgie's father is helping us a lot. From 3 years old, I think, or something like that. But we've been living in the different cities because Georgie, he's originally from Stavropol, and me, I'm from Krasnodar. And we met in Krasnodar finally, and we decided to make our collective in 2007. But first exhibition we did in 2008. And from 2006, we've been dealing a lot already during our education process with our exhibitions. So first projects that we did as a contemporary artist were in 2006, I think.
And who does what in the collective? And did it change over time?
We are always working together with the different themes. But as for technical preparations, it's more a prerogative of Georgie. In the questions of how we can fix that, or which kind of the decision we should take in this technical moment, and etc. So me, I'm doing similar tasks. So from the beginning, we've been splitting somehow our tasks to who's going to manage this, who's going to manage that. But now it's just a question of availability. Like who can't, and it's so now we are combining everything together, so like the concepts and everything. So we've created couple weeks ago a new perfect concept for our next shows, not only for one. So it's like a new stream that we're gonna make, and I'm pretty happy that this idea came in our heads.
A stream.
Stream, yeah, like a stream of water.
Oh, wow. That sounds super exciting.
I mean, it's a kind of a new wave for us in terms of the concept that we're going to develop with a new project starting from St. Petersburg Manege. I think it's going to be postponed to next year because apparently we should have this exhibition in September, but now we cannot. So I hope that it's going to be next summer. And so there are several exhibitions around the world now, like in Switzerland and in
National
Krasnodar. We are assembling a big work, but I mean exhibitions which are still open. There are something on them in Italian part of Switzerland, in National Museum in Stockholm. Some of these places are still available for the artists.
I guess they're closed now, but when they reopen,
they definitely closed.
Oh my God, it's so sad. But I hopefully we'll sail through this soon anyway. Okay. So in other questions include, for example, do you have any advice for younger artists? Although you're quite young yourself, but maybe for those who are just starting.
Draw a lot, express their ideas with sketches and texts. It's very important to feel the concept and to not copying the other artists, because the most problem of young artists is copying of the other artists. That's a problem, actually. Because when you feel that I like this artist, so and you are creating that this concept is mine, but you should know that no, it's not yours. So it's very important to split and feel where is yours and where is not yours, and to not copying. If you are copying, you should know how to deal with that, and you should understand. It should be it should be not a mistake. It should be a part of your concept if you are copying someone else.
Exactly. I feel like in post-digital era, copying...
Yeah, you can copy, but you should understand what are you doing, you know, like to not just thinking that, I think that I created this, but it's important to work with the material of the other artists as well, but you should manage somehow that you should bring your part of the concept inside them.
Also, people are asking here in the comments. I can see that. Do you ever feel drawn to be a designer rather than a practicing artist?
Actually, one of our educations in Krasnodar was graphic design.
And, That's helpful.
And actually, it's always in my head because the graphic designers' brains are always helping to create the symbols and to focus your concept on the symbol or on some kind of important things. Because when you need to create a logo or little sign, it should include all your concept inside, and it's very helping to the artists this kind of skill. And
I get it.
We've been actually earning some money when we were young and when we were in the university with the design, with the graphic design and the design of the interiors many, many years ago. But then we realized that it's not really interesting for us because you always have some kind of a person who commissions it to you, and he has his opinion.
Yeah,
and when you are artist, you don't need to.
You're in control.
Deal with these things.
Yeah, but would it be your advice to younger artists, like get a profession for a few years that will help you to just be creative?
Survive.
Yeah, to survive, and then you become an actual artist.
It's all skills. It's a question of the skills. Actually, if someone like to deal with a hammer, it's also skill. If someone likes to deal with a mouse, like, it's also skill. It depends on the person, because if... anyway, all the skills are important. And if you'd like to work... Yeah, if it's a part of you, for example, you like to work with wood, so you can feed yourself at least with doing some nice furniture, you know. Or if you like to deal with the graphic design, you can work as a graphic designer sometimes if you cannot earn money, for example, from your art. But for the beginning, it can be helpful. I mean,
yeah, I guess it's always the case in the beginning to make money.
Yeah, but if you are an artist, you always should understand like that you need to create, because for us it's kind of a necessity. So we cannot skip this.
Yeah, you cannot waste too much of yourself, I guess, in other fields and still be, that's for sure.
Otherwise, you're going to kill an artist inside yourself, because if you're going to take the easiest way, for example, to earn money with your job, job, not as an art, you can waste all your time there as well, because it's a kind of important occupation as well. And you should realize, and you should tell yourself, where is the border between these things?
Yeah.
Where is art? Where is not art? And that's the most important question in art. Where is the border? Because the main task of the art is to break the borders maximum.
Yeah. And also, there is a question here: has a curator ever imposed on your idea? It's also about borders, I think. Like, when you, as an artist, you have to work with other people. It's not always to be, you know, the only person in control, I guess.
It depends on the curator, because we are all human.
Fair.
And it's also a question of the borders as well. It depends. Actually, we've been working with the different curators during the time, and if it's a good communication between us, so we can reinforce our concept or bring something even new to this concept to the curator, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, the first signals are going from the artists, and then curators, they understand all these signals around, and they are trying to combine them somehow in the new stream. And it's nice when a curator fills this stream, and you can collaborate with him or with her.
Yeah, in a perfect situation, I guess curator is somebody in between you and your audience, kind of.
Yeah, but it's a philosophical question, actually. It's a question of the concept. It's a question of philosophy of this curator. If it compares to you, if you have a nice feeling when you are talking, because good curators, they always know what to say to you, you know.
Wait, but they also, they're just humans as well, so I guess it can depend.
Yeah, but we are in the 21st yeah. century. We are not only humans, so we still have some iPhones, you know, like it's another part of the body.
That's for sure. Especially now, it's like essential part. And also, okay, so let's try to wrap it up soon, because I think after an hour it will end anyway, the last session. But okay, so since you were speaking about iPhones, there was a question, what is your favorite gadget, if any?
I can't say that it's my favorite. It's kind of a necessary gadget.
I feel you.
I do not really feel that it's my favorite object in my house, no, because sometimes it's too much. I like my I don't know, I like gadgets, actually. I like new laptops and new 3D printers and all the technical progress stuff which is important for an artist, because from the beginning it was like a brush or pencil, and it's growing and now we have much more pencils on our palette, and as bigger it is, it's better for everyone.
Yeah, and I guess it's fun to explore always, and okay, thank you so much. I think we should end here,
thank
because
you.
It will end anyway, and thanks, it was super super interesting, actually.
Thank you.
So yeah, so have a nice
be
day,
safe, stay safe, yeah, stay yeah. home.
Yeah, stay home, everyone, please stay home. Thanks, bye.
Thank you.